installment of our summer speaker series. We're glad to have Brother Radon McIntosh with us this evening, who is from the Salado Church of Christ. He has been their family life minister there for the last 6 years. Before that, he was a youth and pulpit minister in Rockdale, Texas, and before that, a youth and pulpit minister in El Dorado, Texas, for a total of 20 years in ministry. He comes tonight with his whole family, which is good to see. His wife of 18 years married, their son Titus, the two daughters, Bethany and Sella. And so we're glad to have him tonight with us this evening. So just Brother Radon, we just pray for you to come up here and preach the word to us.
It is great to be back. Am I turned on? Okay. I think we figured that it was about 4 years ago, the last time we were here, because I don't think we had Selah the last time that we were here. So she's four. And so the other ones are a little bit bigger maybe than you remember them being. They were probably a little bit sweeter back then too. They're still sweet. So it is great to be back. Thank y'all so much for giving me this opportunity to be here with you tonight. I did send some slides for this evening. Probably help if I turn it on. Got it turned on now. Okay. So I'm going to share what happened to me a couple of months ago. It was at the building there at Salado. It was a Monday morning, and I was the first one there. And it was a stormy day, so it was really dark, and we don't turn our lights on or anything. Usually the windows, enough sun comes in to brighten up the room enough. But this particular morning, very, very cloudy, very, very dark. And so if you've never been to our building, my office is somewhere over in this area, and right here is our stage. And I was going to the other side of the auditorium, going to walk over there, and I had my phone on me, and it was a classic case of no texting while walking, because I got right about here and just ran into our steps, our first step that goes up to our stage. And we've got a planter right here, and shouldn't have been doing it, shouldn't have been walking and texting at the same time. But I hit that step, my phone goes flying about 10 rows into the auditorium. And I kind of fall over this planter right here, but I guess I'm either athletic enough or just young enough. I didn't totally fall down into the planter. I was able to put an arm down and stop myself. And so I picked myself up a little bit. And there are a few things that I did from that moment on. The second thing that I did was I checked this planter, just like this. Ours was a little bit taller, because I wanted to make sure that I didn't destroy that planter. I didn't want the lady who takes care of our flowers and our decorations to be mad at me. And so I checked it, made sure it wasn't broken, and I fixed up the flowers a little bit. She had to come back later and make it pretty, but at least no damage there. Okay, so then the third thing that I did was I checked the stage, because where I put my arm down to stop my fall, there's a plug right there. And so I checked that plug to make sure that I didn't damage it, because I didn't want the guy who's in charge of our building and grounds to be mad at me for breaking that plug right there. And so I checked it. Everything was fine. The next thing I did was I checked my phone. I went 10 rows down, found my phone, picked it up, made sure there was no cracks, it was still working, everything looked good, so we were good there. The next thing I did was to check myself. I checked my legs, checked my arms, made sure there were no broken bones or anything like that, so you can already see my priorities were a little bit out of whack. I checked myself last. But what do you think the first thing I did was? What's that? Looked around to make sure nobody saw me. That's the first thing that I did, because I'm sure it looked hilarious. I'm sure it looked ridiculous. But we've all been there, haven't we? Whenever you've fallen down or you've walked into something, it's the first thing you do, isn't it? Who saw me? Who saw me? I hope nobody saw that. And And so this gave me an idea for what I think is a great lesson and what I think is a great reminder for all of us. And it's going to be one of these good news, bad news kind of things. Now, I don't know about you, but I always want the bad news first. Anybody else like that? Yeah, I want the bad news first because the good news I'm expecting and I'm hoping is going to make that bad news a little bit easier to deal with. So here's the bad news that I learned from my embarrassing morning. What I learned was is that you cannot hide from God. That's the lesson that I learned. Now, I looked around and nobody else was here. Now, I think we did have a lady in our prayer room that morning, but thankfully she didn't hear the commotion. So I was able to get away without anybody seeing this embarrassing moment of mine. But God saw it. And that's the thought that hit me. He saw it. And I bet he had a little bit of a chuckle, too. I bet it looked really, really funny. But so many people try to hide from God. And we just go to the very beginning of our Bible, and we see people trying to hide from God. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Did he have to do that? He didn't have to do that. He knew where they were. "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So there's already one reason that we did of why we sometimes hide from God, or why people have sometimes hidden from God out of fear. Go just a few pages over, and we have another very familiar story, another example of someone trying to hide something from God. Did God know what had happened in this case? He didn't have to ask what happened. He didn't have to ask, "Where is your brother?" But he did. Right? He did say, "Where is your brother?" even though he knew what had happened. What did Cain say when God asked, "Where is Abel?" That's the second thing he said. What's the first thing he said? "I don't know." Did he know? Obviously he knew. He knew that he had just killed him. And then comes the classic line, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And we all know the answer to that question. Yes, we are our brother's keepers. So trying to hide something from God again and again, it just being silly to think that that's possible. We know this story well. Jonah, right? And Jonah thought that he could run away from God, in a sense, hide from God. But we remember how that story worked out. So we just cannot hide from God, even though people have been trying to do it, thinking they could do it, almost since the beginning of time. And still so many people try to do it today and think that they can do it today, hide from God or run from God or hide something from God. Hebrews 4:13, though, says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Also, there is no deep shadow, no utter darkness where evildoers can hide." That's Job 34, verse 22. "And then my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their sin concealed from my eyes." That's Jeremiah 16, verse 17. So here's the bad news. We cannot hide from God. And if you think of little kids, I thought of my kids. When you have little kids, they're not very good at hide and seek, are they? Now, as my kids have gotten older, they've gotten a lot better. And they actually have found some places that I really can't. It takes me a long time to find them. But when they were both Selah's age, 4 years old, they also were not very good at hide and seek. As a matter of fact, they would get bored after about 30 seconds, and then they'd just jump out and tell me where they were. They didn't really understand the concept of the game. It looks just as silly whenever we think that we can hide from God, just as silly as this boy trying to hide behind this tree. It just cannot be done. It has never worked. It's never been successful. Nobody has ever successfully hidden from God or hidden something from God or ran from God. It just cannot be done. So there's the bad news. All right, so now are you ready for the good news? Okay, here's the good news. There's the good news. Because isn't that really good news? It's really not bad news that we can't hide from God. It's really wonderful news that we cannot hide from God. We have bad days. Like we've already seen one example, being afraid might make us want to hide certain things from God. We might also want to hide certain things from each other. Have you ever hidden something from one of your brothers or sisters in Christ? I bet we all have. We all have bad days. We all have difficulties in life. We all have struggles. Sometimes they're just little things can be easily fixed, or they go away after a little while. Some of them, though, they can last for days or weeks or even months, and they can become really big problems and really big struggles. But a show of hands, how many of you, whenever somebody has asked you how you're doing, say a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night whenever we gather for church or you're just out and about, somebody asked you how you're doing, how many have said fine? Oh, I'm doing fine. Doing fine. Do you know what fine stands for? Feeling insecure, numb, and empty. Sometimes that's what fine really means. We put on our nice clothes, we brush our hair, we put deodorant on, brush our teeth, we look the part, we look nice. And we might even say, oh, I'm doing fine. But really we're not. Sometimes we're feeling insecure, numb, and empty. Or it means this: fanatical, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Sometimes that's what fine really means when we say fine. Or this one: feelings inside not expressed. Again, we fix the outside and make it look nice and make it look like everything's okay, like nothing's going on. But inside, there might be a lot going on. There might be a lot of fear. There might be a lot of depression. There might be a lot of guilt. There might be a lot of worry. And we could go on and on and on with all the things that we sometimes feel on the inside, but we don't necessarily show it on the outside. Here's another one here, and I know you might not be able to read all of that. I'll mention just a few of the things that are on there. Worthless, nervous, scared, confused, lost, angry, flawed, let down, unloved, exhausted, heartbroken, addicted, empty, betrayed, hopeless, on the verge of tears, ready to give up, about to fall apart. Have you ever felt those things before? And maybe somebody asked you how you were doing, and maybe you said fine. But really you were feeling one of those things or several of those things. So you really were not fine. And I'd be willing to mention just those few things that I've mentioned, and if you can read some of those that are on the screen, maybe I'm touching on something that somebody in this room is going through right now. Maybe they are experiencing one of those emotions or one of those feelings or several of them right now, today. And maybe, just maybe, today you've been telling folks you're fine, but you're really not. You're really not okay. Maybe you really got some hard stuff that you're dealing with right now, some scary stuff. Maybe it's health concerns of yours or of a loved one. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe it's financial concerns or problems at work. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe problems at home, relationship problems, problems with a spouse, problems with a child or another family member. In this world, there's just so many things that we can go through from time to time. And I'm now 43, is that right? 43? I'm 43. Yeah, 20 years ago, I don't know if I would have said what I would say now, because I have seen some things. Just in the last 20 years, I've begun to learn this lesson that there are some tough times in this world, some really tough times. One of the good things about Facebook is it has these memory things that come up, right? It tells you 2 years ago on this day, and it reminds you of something that happened. And just this past week, it was a reminder of, what was it? 4 years ago, 5 years ago, no, longer than that, 6 or 7 years ago, Bethany, my middle daughter, who's now 9, it flashed up a memory of her, and this particular memory, or this particular part of this memory, was good. It was very good. It was by far the best part of this memory, but the days before that were not good at all. When she was, I guess, 2 years old, something like that, we were visiting her parents, and we were about to leave, and I was the one who found her in the kitchen, and she was just kind of sitting on the floor, which was kind of weird, and then whenever I asked her what was going on, she looked up at me, and I mean, she looked like she was on something. I mean, she looked spaced out, like she was in another world. Her eyes were glazed over, and she just had a real weird, goofy expression on her face. And so I could just tell something's not quite right here. And so I picked her up and took her into the living room and where everybody else was. And we were all kind of looking at her. And at first, it was kind of funny. I mean, it was almost kind of like Otis on the Andy Griffith Show. It looked like she was drunk or something. And it was, so it was just kind of interesting to see her like this. But then she had a seizure. And so immediately it clicked, and it was not funny anymore or amusing at all. We knew something was wrong at that point. A little bit later, she had another seizure. And so, well, I had to get back because I had to preach. It was a Saturday. We were in Pearsall. I had to get back up to Rockdale to preach the next day. So she looked like she had gotten better. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and leave because I need to go preach in the morning. Y'all can come back either later tonight or tomorrow or whatever. Well, I got a call about 11 o'clock or midnight that night, and she had another seizure and a pretty bad one. And so, long story short, she ended up in the Children's Hospital in San Antonio for about 4 days and had all these wires hooked up to her head. I don't know, I can't remember what they call that, but they were trying to figure out what the problem was. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't wish that on any parent, what we went through for 3 days. I wouldn't wish on any parent what I went through that night, because I drove down. They were going to fly her from Pearsall to the Children's Hospital in San Antonio. And I drove down from Rockdale, and I didn't know if my daughter was going to be alive. Wouldn't wish that on any parent. Thankfully, she was. But still, she was just not herself at all. It was scary. And I had videos on my phone. I've deleted them. I could not bear to watch them anymore because it just was not my daughter. And so that was very, very, very scary. And life can be that way. Life can throw some really tough things at us. definitely not find whenever we're going through those things. Psalm 139, we really could look at the whole chapter. And I am going to go ahead and read some that I don't have on the screen. So if you want to go ahead and open up there, Psalm 139. On the screen, I've got verses 7 through 12, I think. But I do want to go ahead and read, starting in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then I've got the rest up here on the screen. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And I think there's some people, probably a lot of people in this world, don't you, that think this is kind of creepy, that don't really like hearing this about God, that he knows us so well. They don't really like hearing that we can't hide from God, that we can't hide anything from God, that we can't run from God. And maybe some folks feel like that because it'll cramp their style, knowing that about God. Or maybe some, it's just a fear that God can know us that well. Maybe it would remind them that it's not all about them. Maybe that's why they don't like this particular verse, because it shows that there is a higher power than them. But that's not us, is it? We don't feel that way about this passage, do we? We love this passage, don't we? We love this idea that we can't hide anything from God. This is wonderful news for us. We love that God knows us so well. We love that God knows, and sometimes he's the only one who knows when things are not okay, when things are not fine, when we're scared, when we're guilty, when we're feeling shame, when we're feeling any kind of negative emotion. We can hide it from other people, but we can't hide it from God. And that's wonderful, wonderful news. My encouragement for us tonight, even though it is most of the time, oftentimes so easy to hide things from each other, my encouragement is that we do not do that. If you are going through something right now, and maybe it's one of those things that I hit on a little earlier, don't hide it from anybody. Tell somebody about what you might be going through. Again, that's been in my experience, and I know it's just been 43 years, but I've learned many, many, many times that it's always better to share with somebody whenever I'm going through something instead of keeping it to myself. And so talk to somebody. Tell somebody what it is that you're going through. Whatever it is that you might be going through in life right now that is making you not fine and not okay, let somebody know about it. And one of the neat things when we do that, that happens so much, and I think this is a God thing, so many times when I have done that, whatever person I decided to share that with, they had been through the same thing. And so they knew exactly what I was feeling. They knew exactly what I was going through. Has that ever happened to you? It's neat how God does that, isn't it? That he just puts the right people in front of us. So don't keep these things in. Whatever you might be experiencing right now, whatever difficulty you might be going through, let somebody know. And that's my invitation to all of you tonight. But even if you just can't bring yourself to do that, if it's just too embarrassing or you're just too ashamed about whatever it is, or another thing that we do, another reason that we don't tell other people what we're going through is that we don't want to burden them, right? Oh, they've got enough to worry about. They don't need to hear my problems. Don't think that way. Sometimes we don't do it because we think, oh, well, I got myself into this. And if we tell ourselves that, what's the next thing we tell ourselves? I got to get myself out of it. If I got myself into it, I got to get myself out of it. No, don't think that way. But if you can't tell somebody what you're going through, then my final invitation for all of us tonight, at least talk to God about it. At least tell him, because what have we already said? He knows. He already knows what you're going through, whatever it is. So have a talk with him at the very least. Go to him. Use him for what he's able to do for you. And as the song that we're about to sing says, come just as you are. You don't have to fix it first. You don't have to get yourself to a certain point in your faith first before you take this to God. Take this to God anytime. Take this to God all the time. Anytime is the right time to take a problem to God. The lesson is yours.